sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Zolak and Bertrand. Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight in Boston. Celtics and Cavs. Probably the biggest game of this series. Will have huge implications going forward. What happens in this game tonight? How does LeBron respond? How does he respond after having a mediocre to bad game one?
42 points. Going to drop 42 at the TD Garden tonight.
33 or 36. I'm going to go 36.
He's going to come out. You know he's going to come out. And
he's going to be
shooting early. He's going to be shooting often. And as much as it plays into his mystique and his myth and all the stuff that you dislike about LeBron, he is the best player on the planet, has been for a long time. So he's going to go out there tonight and try and reassert himself, not because he's full of ego, but I think it's the best way for his team to go out there and win.
That's how great ones respond.
He's not going to be as terrible from three, and that entire team is not going to be as bad from three as they were in game one. We talked about them possibly picking up the pace as a team, but when you say LeBron's going to shoot, you know what I think LeBron's really going to do? He's going to go to the rim.
Yep.
He's going to go to the rim.
He's going to draw fouls. This is the one where he's going to get a ton of fouls early, and that's what I worry about. So say you start Marcus Morris on him. What kind of foul trouble does that guy get into early? And I think that's where Stevens is maybe going to be ahead of this and get some guys in there to where you could bang on him a little bit, wear him down. Maybe you're going to see Semi. Maybe you're going to see Baines on him a little bit. Continue to rotate and switch that and get help. It's basically all you can do. And just hope he misses because he's going to get calls down underneath. If he goes to the rim, that's how he's going to get calls. He's not going to get calls shooting from outside the three. You're either making him or missing him there. Take the ball and go. That's what he's going to do. That's what he does when they get into trouble. And they want to run more to what you said, Beetle, the other day. You know, speed, fast, transition game. That's where they should have the advantage. You know. I don't know. Celtics are young and athletic, too, though.
Yeah, and what the Cavs need to do is pick up the pace.
Right.
What they need to do. They could have helped themselves in game one had they done that. But as far as LeBron responding in game two, he's always responded in game two. He's responded in game two. In this playoff run, he responded after losing game one in the Pacers series in a big way. He got better in game two in the Toronto series, despite having that game winner early in that series. LeBron is big on game two. He is. And I think whoever wins tonight, they'll be in good shape, real good shape going forward. Even if it's the Cavs, they'll have a 1-1 series lead. As I've said today, the 1-1 series lead heading back home to Cleveland.
I'd be massive for them. Series is back in their favor. And I think LeBron's going to look at it as their series starts tonight. Not that Sunday didn't count. Don't take me the wrong way. But Celtics get tonight, man. I think they win the series. I think they're in control then. Because I don't know if they're going to be able to play it out to where they're going to win 4-5. 4-5 after
this?
Well,
I think you got to get to your question of, you know, does LeBron respond? Let's
play like how they
out,
lose
right?
or how they
play
win
it out.
Today. Right?
They lose tonight. They're down 0-2. Does LeBron look around and say, I don't have enough here. I don't have enough. I don't have enough support. This team's always only going to go as far as I can go. And you know what? I'm not really believing that I can take him past this series.
Yeah, I have enough to get out there and win a couple of games, but do I have enough here to go win 4 or 5 if they lose this game tonight?
Yes.
Like, you watch that game last night, and you just see Golden State and say, you know what, we're just going to physically beat this team. Houston, we're just going to physically wear them down and play dirty basketball. I'm like, I don't think LeBron and company can hang with them.
LeBron wins tonight. It's evened up. Brand new series, and he has home court. That's what he's got. Brand new series with home court.
Yeah.
Not what you're looking for.
No.
Big time sneaky, swing in this one.
Sneaky, important game.
Yeah, not exactly
today.
Sneaky.
I'm not doing it.
Don't need to be sneaky about this one. Chris is in the car. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Wondering what you think about if the whole gambling thing comes to fruition, do you think any of the officiating in these sports will change?
I'm sorry, well, what?
Officiating. Change. Officiating
in what
change.
Way?
Will guys be more on the hook? Be influenced.
Yeah, well, they... maybe like they'll do more like video, make sure like if like this, you know, if this, like the sports are making money with these integrity fees, if they have to come like actually come out, you know, they want these games to be as accurate as possible. You think it's gonna be even more tedious?
I don't know. I mean, are you a hockey fan at all?
I am a little bit.
Yeah, you see the hockey playoffs? I mean, officiating's a freaking disaster. Do you think any of those guys are on the take? See, that's what it's going to end up
getting
to.
I get what Chris's point is, though. Right. He said if the leagues are now sanctioning the gambling,
and
they are getting paid, they're collecting this integrity fee.
We need
this
team.
They're calling it that right now. I think it's ludicrous. They're going to end up calling it a licensing fee, which is you can use our names and our players and our team names. And, oh, by the way, you got to pay us 5%. Right? It'll be something ridiculous. If they're on the take, so to speak, in terms of getting a cut, don't they have to go out of their way to ensure, and this is Chris's point, not mine, he's saying don't they have to go out of their way to really ensure that they get every call right? Well, I think they're trying to get every call right now. I just think you're never going to get them all right. And that's part of the risk of gambling on sports. You have to assume that those things will happen, that bad calls will be made. Sometimes they'll get it right. Sometimes they'll get it wrong. That's all part of the risk of doing it. That exists already when it comes to sports. You know, wager it your own risk is what it comes down to. As long as there's no fixing going on, as long as there's no NBA refs like Tim Donaghy placing and wagering, I don't think you'll have an issue with it.
Yeah, the only thing any of these sports have going for them at the end of the day is the unknown quality of the outcome. You never know what's going to happen. You think a team's going to win, but you don't know. You really don't know. If there's ever any kind of belief, widespread, not just kooks, not just conspiracy theorists, not just beaten down Lions fans who are convinced that things are fixed against them, there's really ever any widespread belief or willingness to believe that these games are no longer on the level, that's when it all goes downhill. The whole thing starts to crumble.
Speaking of officiating, you want to know who your refs are tonight? And
I
where
do.
They stand within the league?
Maybe it's Tim Donaghy's buddy that was on the TLA.
Are they road refs? Well, no, Foster was working last night. Are they road refs? Yeah. Are they home refs? What do we expect? I expect LeBron refs tonight.
Yeah, road
that's
refs.
What I expect.
Road refs.
A couple of road refs. What did I tell you? What have I always told you about how the NBA stacks it when they do it?
You get 1-1 to balance it, and then it's the 2-1 alternate guys.
It's the 2-1. Yeah. They offset the two of them with the opposite one.
Right. You don't get three road refs
right
out there.
You'll get two very obvious road refs, and then you'll get one homer ref.
Right.
Does that hold up tonight? Mm. The same way it did a week ago when I told you in Philadelphia, you'll get two road refs and a homer ref. It will benefit the Celtics, and it did. Actually, no. I'm thinking of the other game. I'm thinking of the Philly game. The Philly game, you know what I'm talking about. Now I've just talked too much. I will tell you who they are and how it stacks up next.
Zola, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Woo! The joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here are your officials for tonight's Eastern Conference Finals, game number 2, Cleveland at Boston. Official number 1, Mike Callahan. Official number 2, Derek Stafford. And the third official is Sean Wright. Ready for this, Sel?
Go ahead.
Are you ready for the breakdown of each of these individuals as it relates to how homerific they are in the NBA?
Yep.
Well, I can tell you that it holds up. It holds up the same way that you would expect it to, which is on the homer scale, which is home teams against the spread. That's a weighted statistic that factors in the spread and the expectation and really the talent of each team. I can tell you that Sean Wright, who's on this game as the third official, ranks second in that category of the homer refs, meaning he is the second most friendly home ref in all of the NBA. That would help the Celtics, right? So what do you think that means? And by the way, home teams win by an average of nearly 4 points with him as the referee. What do you think that means for the other two refs of the 71 refs in the league?
Road refs.
Road refs. Callahan and Stafford. Out of 71 referees in the NBA this year, 71 officials.
Yep.
They are road refs. Ranking 60 and 61. Stafford is number 60 in the league. Callahan, 61.
So they're both in the bottom 11 in the league.
That is correct. Those are the road refs. Stafford and Callahan are the road refs tonight that are going to give LeBron his calls, that are going to get him to the line, all of that.
Cleveland is favored by 1.5 tonight.
1.5 is the spread.
Yep.
Look for it tonight. Look for it. That's what's going to happen. 617-779-0985. I believe Stafford. Stafford, I feel like, has been involved in some minor controversies before in his career. I'd have to try and dig some of those up, but I don't think it's anything like, you know, the Donaghy scandal. I feel like he's mixed. I feel like him and Mark Cuban had a thing at one point. He's been involved in some verbal back and forths with coaches, players, and at one point even owners. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but as expected, you get the 2-1 combo, the two road refs and the one home ref to offset.
Derek Stafford?
Yeah.
Clashed with Miami coach Pat Riley during a Heat Blazers game just before the All-Star break, was required to serve a 2-game suspension. Newspaper reports quoted Stafford telling Riley during the game, "It's not about you. Go on TV crying." Riley was fined $20,000 for publicly criticizing game officials to assembled media after the game, and it looks like Stafford got a suspension himself. So refs aren't very often suspended, and they don't announce disciplinary action against their referees, but it seems like it doesn't happen all that often.
Which means he's pretty much...
he's a wild card!
He's a questionable guy.
I don't know.
He's been disciplined publicly.
I got Pat Riley, this slick back hair, barking at me all game.
I might tell him the same thing.
I might tell him to go, why don't you go cry on TV about it, Pat?
Yeah, Eric's in Framingham. What do you got, Eric?
Hey, guys. Just want to talk about tonight's game. So for Sunday, I know that the Celtics, they really played well switching off and actually boxing out, which I've seen that Raptors and Pacers haven't done really. So Cavaliers really get off their most of their points from offensive rebounds. And I'm just going to say, like, just let LeBron get his way, get to the lane as much as possible. But Baines, if he keeps that intensity as well as Marcus Morris, then they can shut him off and actually just keep George Hill, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith. If they can keep them away from the ball, man, then I think we can have a solid game.
What if LeBron keeps going to the line? What if LeBron keeps scoring? What if LeBron does all those things?
That's how they beat you tonight, him at the line. He doesn't miss.
I just can't get on board with that. Oh, you stop Kyle Korver. What? Yeah. You stop Kyle Korver, you're going to win the game?
Well, so they were all were bad? They were all bad? They're going to be all bad again?
They're not all going to be all bad again. At least not offensively. Defensively, sure. Not offensively. Josh and Averill with the Red Sox thought. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Beatlenzo. I got a Red Sox thought and some Celtics.
Great.
Let me give you some Mookie Betts numbers from 2017 that I think he's going to eclipse every single way around. He played 153 games, 46 doubles, 2 triples, 24 home runs, 72 extra base hits. All those numbers are going up.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the Celtics go tonight, the Cavaliers are favored by 1.5.
Yep.
All those degenerates out there, smash the Celtics tonight.
Okay. I think heavy money goes to Cleveland tonight. If you're forced to bet tonight, I'm not betting Cleveland. Yeah, I'm betting Cleveland tonight.
And on his other point, on Mookie Betts, those numbers should go up. 2017 was not his best year. 2016 was a great year for Mookie Betts. That's when he was in the MVP conversation. Last year was a step back. He should eclipse last year's numbers. Absolutely. I went into the season saying he should be better than what he was a year ago. Not that he had a bad year. He definitely didn't have that. But he should. He's capable of this. He's showing you what he really is. Right now, Mookie Betts leads the American League, leads all of baseball, batting .362. He's tied for the lead in home runs, 13 home runs. He's been crushing it, absolutely crushing it, Zoe.
I got another Derek Stafford update here for you.
Awesome. What do you got on him?
There were a couple of incidents at the end of last year, so this is pretty timely. There was a Bucks-Oklahoma City Thunder game toward the end of it. The Greek Freak is driving around an Oklahoma City Thunder defender in a seemingly impossible situation. Seems to drive to the basket, but steps out of bounds in the process. But they don't call it. So again, this is the road team. This is the Bucks playing in Oklahoma City.
All right.
Basket counts. Crew chief Derek Stafford said after the game via pool reporter that the play with Antetokounmpo was not reviewable. There has to be a whistle on the floor, he said. There's no whistle blown for the play. We couldn't review it. Seems like a hilariously arbitrary and arbitrarily applied standard, according to Deadspin. It's at the very end of the game. Second of all, there was a whistle. The referee stopped play to briefly sort out a clock issue so they could have reviewed it. Also, from the league report on the last 2 minutes of that game, they called that one incorrect. Stafford also worked in the Warriors-Cavaliers Christmas Day game, which was the source, according to Deadspin once again, of about as damning an L2M report as you are likely to see. The last 2 minute report that they give out after NBA games. Stafford was the crew chief on that one, and it was it pretty much took them all to task for the way they officiated the last 2 minutes of that win. But that was a home win for the Warriors.
So they screwed up the whole thing. Sounds like they had an awful night.
They had a bad night. Stafford had a bad night in Oklahoma City for the Bucks game, and then another bad one for the Warriors game that they hosted, however, against the Cavaliers. So, yeah. Not necessarily going against home team or not. They're split on those two instances.
All right. But he's a road ref, and tonight he helps. Helps the Cavs.
What's our tip tonight?
Oh, it's
8:30, but it's going to push 9?
Yeah. No, it won't push 9. Well, it might. Well, here's really, you know what I would set the over-under at? 8:45. Does it happen before or after 8:45? What do you think?
After. I carry on.
46.
Just wonder who's doing a national anthem.
Is that
and then God bless America.
Is that the total we're going with, 8:45 for the tip tonight?
Yeah.
Over under.
I'll go over.
I'll go over too. That's not the sound.
Yeah, it is.
That's not used anymore.
Oh yeah, they get the new funky rejoin.
Well, no, that's what you're singing is NBC and the NBA on NBC many years ago.
That's right.
That's
got me
round ball rock.
It got me in the mood. Thank you, Zoe.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm ready.
Is our video up yet?
No, we'll work on it.
All right.
Don't you worry about that, okay?
All right.
Or something like that, basically.
Yes!
Hardy has headlines. More of your calls are coming up. Today's takeaways at 1:50.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hut. 617-779-0985.
Great day for a little pre-gaming, huh? A little liquid lunch. Sun's out, guns out.
How soon before the thunderstorms hit?
I think 4:00 they're coming.
Oh, so you've got plenty of time.
Yeah. That'll be a fun commute in.
Got a couple of hours before it all comes raining down.
Rain hits down there. Causeway, they take the rain fine down there, don't they? All that construction. Or around the garden. Oh, what a nightmare. Oh,
why is that a nightmare?
Because the one garage is closed and everybody's converging on one spot and it's just pouring. And then if you have
that's
to
a good question. How
if
have
you have
people
to park
been,
far away, then you got to walk.
How have people been driving to the games lately? For everything,
I heard it was bad Saturday. I mean Sunday, but it was. I mean, come on, everybody's in a city for Mother's Day too.
Are they? Everyone goes to the city for Mother's Day.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that go to eat and do the brunch and do the dinners and stuff
at TD Garden.
I think you would have more traffic in the city than normal.
Station. No, I'm talking about parking, though. I'm talking about what you get down there.
Said he was bitching, said it was awful.
Yeah, I mean, because it was awful just to go and do a show over there.
Yeah. Mother's Day traffic sucked all over the place.
It did.
I was driving around on Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know about downtown, but I can speak, you know, just places in and around Metro West.
Sure. Well, big game happening at the Garden tonight. Felger-Mazur there. So they will have...
We'll get you ready.
They'll have you covered this afternoon from TD Garden. Getting ready for biggest game of the series. That's what it is. Stand by that. You want to talk about that? We can absolutely do it. 617-779-0985. Robert Parrish is not happy with the amount of attention that Brad Stevens has gotten. Not only the attention, but the praise that Brad Stevens has got. He was on NBA radio. Here's what he said.
I think he gets a little too much praise, but I like what he's doing. They giving him all the love like he done won 3 or 4 championships. Hey, come on now. Win something first. All the love he getting. Now, granted, don't get me wrong. He's a solid coach. I give him that.
Yeah, I
but
mean,
the love that he's getting from the media, you think the Celtics done won 2 or 3 championships. That don't mean that you're not great or good just because mm-hmm. they've won championships. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying Brad Stevens should not be getting praise for the job that he's done because I feel like he's done an outstanding job.
Wait
I'm just saying the amount of praise he's getting. You think he don't want a championship or two? They don't give Steve Kerr that much love. Come on.
So he likes the praise, but he doesn't like the amount of praise. He said he's a good coach, but then he said he's an outstanding coach.
I told you he's all over the place. He contradicts himself within his statement.
Well, Shaughnessy said, ignore Robert Parrish, number one.
Which is probably the best advice he's ever given us.
Because seriously, when you start thinking about it too much, Steve Kerr doesn't get that much. Why would you praise Steve Kerr?
Because he's a champion.
Who does Steve Kerr have playing on his team throughout his championships?
He's got the best players in the league.
Yep. Right.
And then you have Kevin Durant.
Other than LeBron. And when you're talking about the best players in the league, the Cavaliers have LeBron. They did have Kyrie Irving, but I mean, Golden State is stacked. Do you honestly think that team is winning and has won because of the coach? Hell, he wasn't even coaching there for big portions of that run.
Chief,
Robert. What are you talking about? Steve Kerr doesn't get that much. What type of praise should Steve Kerr be getting that he's not getting?
All the praise.
And
more.
Furthermore. When you start talking about the people you would want to coach your team in the NBA, is Brad Stevens on the short list?
Yep.
Is he a top five guy that you would want to coach your team?
Yes. Solid coach.
So what else has been said about him? That he's the best coach ever? No. That he's absolutely going to win no matter what types of players he has? No. What's really been said about Brad Stevens? He's getting the most out of his guys, and he's a really good coach. That's too much praise?
So Casey Jones was how much of a better coach than Brad Stevens then, according to a guy like Robert Parrish?
Oh.
So if Brad Stevens died tomorrow, it's what they put on his headstone. Solid coach. Solid. Solid radio host. Solid show.
I honestly don't know what his issue is.
No, I don't think he has an issue because, like Beatle said, he contradicts himself 4 times in what he said. Said he saw, called him a solid coach, then he said, well, he's outstanding. Well, what is he?
It's like there's too many people that have said it for him. He hit his limit on people talking positively about Brad Stevens. And again, this is what I hate. This has been twisted.
I'm more confused now by listening to that than anything.
You're a dope if you think that trading Brad Stevens for LeBron James wouldn't be a good move. I'm sorry. You have to say yes to that. The coach is not more valuable than the player. It's not to say that he's on the same level as LeBron to say the series is about Brad Stevens versus LeBron. The Celtics don't have a single player who can match what LeBron brings. They've got to find a way to do it as a team and as a group and as a group that is well coached. That is why it's turned into Brad Stevens against LeBron. It's about a roster of guys beating a better talent in LeBron James. That does not mean they are equals, because they're not. You know, Colin Coward, you're right. LeBron right now is about legacy and about how many times in a row he can win the Eastern Conference Finals and go on to the NBA Finals. I get that. But Stevens deserves the praise that he's getting right now. And he's the last guy that wants the attention. Just listen to him. He'll tell you he doesn't enjoy it. He wants nothing to do with it. Which is what makes Chris Broussard's commentary just so laughable. That somehow Kyrie Irving is going to be upset. This is what Chris Broussard told Colin Coward. That Kyrie Irving might not like that Brad Stevens is getting this attention, because now it's Brad Stevens' team.
Kyrie Irving, there were a lot of reasons, a myriad of reasons he left Cleveland. One was that, reportedly, he wanted to be the man, right? He wanted his own team.
Right.
Okay? He wanted to see we. Guess what? This is not your team anymore. It's Brad Stevens' team.
Wow, great
it's Brad
point.
Stevens' team. Oh, when wow. you come back, win or lose this series for Boston, this is now Brad Stevens is a genius. He's the face of the Celtics. And that doesn't – you. Some people might say, well, of course the coach is easy. No, it's James Harden's team. It's Steph Curry's team. OKC is Russell Westbrook's team. Was Durant's team. LeBron has his team. Like, it's the superstars' team. But now this is no longer Kyrie's team. It's not.
Come on. As soon as Kyrie is back next year and right, doing what yeah. Kyrie does.
Right now,
right now back to it being Kyrie's team.
Yes, right now it's not Kyrie's team.
He's not on the team right now. He's not playing, Colin. He's not here. Chris Broussard, I mean. Chris, he's not here. He's not playing.
Come October, it might be Kyrie / Gordon Hayward's team, but it will cease to be Brad Stevens' team.
We won't be talking about that. The same way we won't be talking about Steve Kerr if the Golden State Warriors win the championship again. You know why?
Wow, great point. Stevens.
We'll be talking about the players. We'll be talking about Kevin Durant. We'll be talking about Steph Curry. We won't be talking about Steve Kerr. And the same will be true for the Celtics next year with all their guys playing. That's why those clips go hand in hand from yesterday. What a joke. Give me a break. I may not understand that. It's about the players. It's a star-driven league. It's a talent-driven this league. That's what this league is about. Right now, the Celtics are doing more or
right.
less.
You're the anti. Right now. You're the anti-establishment. And I think some guys that have played in this league that have achieved superstar status don't really view coaching that highly because they think it's a players league, and that's what it is. Look at LeBron. Look how many coaches he's been through. I mean, is it good that for a guy like Eric Spoelstra that LeBron leaves Miami and he can prove he could at least be a little bit of a coach down there? Probably. You know? But, I mean, my God, what Brad Stevens has had to endure and how he's had to get these young kids to play, how could you not give him credit? Solid. Solid job, Brad. Kudos. Good for you. 10 bonus points for you. Win tonight, you get 50.
Wow, great Brad point. Stevens.
Here's the problem with some guys. They see Brad Stevens. You know what they want to do? They're going to give him a candy bar or a popsicle. He's just got that young look, and he stands there with his arms crossed and like, aw shucks, kind of. How do you even give him a technical? Like, what does Brad Stevens say that gets a technical? He mumbled something. Mumbled something last week. He just want to be buddies with him. Hang out. Hey, buddy. Get you over there. I cue you. Pinch your cheeks.
And go eat a sandwich with him.
Let me fix your tie. What are you doing with those button-down shirts on?
What's up, guys?
Hey, guys. Hey, Coach. Hey, how you Coach. Doing? When do we have him?
Thursday.
Oh, God.
Thursday for Stevens? Do we
have 3 days to get ready.
Yeah, there's a lot of time off.
Ready to go, man. Let's go. Oh, shut up, Tom.
Today's takeaways here on Zolak and Bertrand are coming your way next.
So, at the Beatles. Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's
sweet. Belgrade Mavs at the Garden getting ready for Game 2. They're coming up just moments from now here on the Sports Up. Time now for the takeaways, though.
Yep, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight. The official weight loss program of your Boston Red Sox, Weekend180WeightLoss.com.
My takeaway today is from an interview we had at noontime today. Old friend Daniel Wallach making an appearance back on the show. It's been a couple of years. We used him frequently. Every time there was a development in Deflategate, we'd hear from him, being a lawyer and someone who is good at breaking down and dissecting what it is that has happened. He had some interesting stuff today on the ruling in the Supreme Court yesterday legalizing sports gambling. He had this to say specifically about our very state, Massachusetts, and when we could see wagering happening here in this state. How soon could that come to fruition?
The end game for DraftKings is to be able to operate their own online sports book. And eventually that's going to be the way it goes. And I would watch out for that in Massachusetts, which is generally at the front end or the cutting edge of some progressive issues or progressive areas of gaming. The Gaming Commission was one of the first movers on daily fantasy sports. So was your attorney general. And a couple of months back, the Gaming Commission issued a comprehensive white paper on sports betting. So I would be surprised if Massachusetts didn't legalize sports betting by the end of the summer.
So that's Daniel Wallach. If you didn't catch that at the end, he would be surprised.
Yeah.
If it's not legalized here by the end of the summer,
I'd be surprised if it were legalized by the end of the summer.
And I'm not an expert, and he is, and he's a lawyer, and I'm not. But that seems soon.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing.
It seems like it will take some time to wind its way through Beacon Hill before they get it done.
Right. And here's the other thing, Beetle. As we have witnessed now between the casinos and marijuana and whatever else you want to throw in.
Mary Jane!
Big difference between legalized and actually being able to put into practical usage.
Implemented.
Right. So
legalization and implementation are two very different things. I should trademark that right there. That's a good little Sliss saying.
it's catchy.
Legalization does not equal
sure doesn't.
Implementation.
Legalization does not necessarily mean implementation in matters regarding the Commonwealth. Mark Buttrin, May 2018.
Thank you.
You could probably be a lawyer and get away with it. Not know a damn thing about a lawyer, but recite movie lines.
Who's it?
Hardy?
Yep, like identical.
Do you have any aliases?
Let me ask you.
Clay Buttrin.
Why don't you do me a favor and run me off the whole case file and just get it to my good friend here? Just give him everything.
Objection!
You know, I'm glad you brought up movies.
Yes.
Because my takeaway today has to do with you, Scott Zolak.
What?
Making reference to...
what was it?
You want Zoe to go first? All right, never mind.
I'll go first?
Yeah, you get to go first.
All right, we already played a little bit of Colin Coward with Broussard in his wow comment, but... carrying on here regarding LeBron James and comparing him to movies and the producer.
Imagine being Steven Spielberg, the most decorated, iconic movie director in the history of Hollywood. And you somehow, as a young director, the Celtics, get a lunch with him. I'm sorry that when Spielberg drives to have lunch with you somewhere in Hollywood, he has to call his secretary and go, "Hey, what's his name again? And why am I having lunch? Oh, his cousin knows somebody in our office? Okay." And then Spielberg hangs up and gets on another call with James Cameron, a movie director, and Tom Hanks. I'm sorry, Spielberg has loftier goals. Now, that young director, he's like, "Okay, should I order tuna fish? Would that be right? Maybe I should order a piece of fish. What should I wear? Oh, my God, honey, I don't know. I've been thinking about this. I couldn't sleep. I'm having lunch with Steven Spielberg." That's the Celtics.
Huh. Who do you think writes those for him? You think he comes up with all these analogies on his own?
I think he does.
I mean, what is that? Because that also kind of, he sort of indicts the Celtics by saying they're somehow afraid of the stage.
Yeah.
Or they're nervous because of the stage. No, they're not.
No.
You know who digs him? Bledsoe really digs him. Colin Coward. They've got a relationship through wine. I think Coward's invested in some wine stuff in that. But Drew talks to him all the time, too. He loves him.
Well, I think he's
I like his delivery. I think he's good. We play a ton of his Patriots takes.
I just think this particular analogy, he's got a lot of analogies. This one,
yep.
I think I'd give this one an F grade.
It falls a little short.
Yeah. Not his best analogy. He's got a lot of good ones. This is not one of them.
Looks like traffic's got a little bit of a bitch down around the garden there, boys.
By the way, Colin Coward, you love him, you hate him, whatever it might be. His chapter in his book about Boston and sports in New England is pretty good. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He basically says that everyone in Boston you know, everyone thinks everybody in Boston, sports fan-wise, they're all a bunch of a-holes. And he said, you're right, they are, but they deserve to be. And he kind of, it's pretty good. It's a good read. Check it out.
I'll read that. Yeah. All right, so he was talking about Steven Spielberg there.
Yes, movies.
Which prompted Zoe to bring up another filmmaker.
Okay, we're LeBron is Spielberg, and name a low-level director that's only done, you know, a few films, but people have heard of him.
That was a weird Martin Scorsese. That was early.
I missed that.
Okay.
I did not realize
Martin
Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese, yes.
Mark Scorsese.
He's related to this guy, Jimmy Scorsese, who got him into the movie business.
I love how you got that doubly wrong. As in low-level director.
Let me take this one, Vito.
Sorry, you do it.
So, can you correctly identify the filmmaker you're trying to name?
Martin Scorsese.
All right, Martin Scorsese.
And the reason it popped into my mind, because we were talking about Kobe Bryant during the Oscars, and the big hashtag that was going around, Oscars won, Kobe Bryant won, Martin Scorsese zero.
All right.
That's all.
Can you
Martin
name...
Martin Scorsese. It was a joke that did not go over well.
And look, it just popped in my mind.
You could tell by the name that I said.
I understand. Naming a low-level director is tough because in order to name a director, they have to be somewhat well-known. Could you name a lesser-known director than Martin Scorsese or Steven Spielberg?
Mark Scorsese. Probably not.
You can't name another...
Oh, Ron Howard.
Okay. Other than Cocoon, what's he put out?
Pretty popular.
Apollo 13, Cinderella Man.
You know what's a good one? You know what's a good one who's regarded as one of the best in Hollywood currently, but probably doesn't have the legacy or doesn't have one of the resumes of those other guys? Like Christopher Nolan is a guy. That people know, but he's...
Or Mark Scorsese.
He's younger. He's young, so he hasn't done it for 100 years like those other guys.
Ron Howard, A Beautiful Mind, Da Vinci Code, Apollo 13, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Splash, Cinderella Man, Cocoon, Parenthood, Backdraft, Far and Away, Night Shift, Ransom, Gung Ho. Oh, classic. I mean, do we have to go on?
No, we don't. It's all over. The show's done. We're back at 10. Go Celtics. Bye.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.